Texas Sports Podcast is located on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. High-quality analysis of baseball, football, and basketball. That is what we do.
Welcome in. Welcome back to the Texas Sports Podcast. I'm your boy, Ken, and I'm still a football fan. I'm also chilling in here with the boy. I'm a football fan. You know how I am. Look, I'm not going to say no names, no teams, none of y'all. Nobody gets a name today. This is Super Bowl Sunday, man. It's going down. I'm over here with Dwayne. What it do, Dwayne?
Yeah, I'm still. I'm here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm here. We actually got your boy Quan in the building. What is going on, Quan?
Well, you know, I'm here. You know, I'm good. You know, I'm still a little emotional. You know, but it's all right.
Yeah, I mean, basically, this situation looks like nobody's team made it to this thing, but we excited about this Super Bowl. I know Quan feeling some sort of way. His team just failed.
Well, you know, I'm not feeling some kind of way, man. It's just, you know, I just look at the game and it's just horrible. It's just a horrible situation, man. I don't understand how you do that. I don't understand how you play that good in one half and come back out the second half and you're garbage. I don't see how that happens, man. But, you know, that's just how it is. You know, some people fall gradually and some people just plummet.
Some people fall off a cliff right quick, huh?
That's what I'm saying. Some people fall gradually and some people just plummet, man. Just, you look around, you're like, damn, where he went?
He was there a second ago. Yeah, I feel you. So what I want to do in this one, man, is talk about those two the NFC-AFC championship games real quick. Talk a little bit about the Pro Bowl if y'all want to. I know it was some trash. But and then we can get down into some previewing this Super Bowl game and make our picks at the end so people can stay around and don't just bounce on us because they know who we got. So we're not
starting out with the Super Bowl. We're going backwards.
We're going to go backwards. We're going to start backwards. We ain't been on here a couple weeks, so we're going to talk about it a little bit. So we can start off with that AFC championship. I know, Quan, we want to get it out the way so you don't have to be marinating on it for the rest of it.
Hold on. If we start out there, I ain't got nothing to talk about.
You got nothing to say?
Well, my team got eliminated way before then. We ain't going that far. We got to go back.
But you already knew.
You want to go back to that L that you took in the first round of the playoffs?
Well, I might have something to say. We ain't never talked about it.
Okay, all right. Well, let's do that then. Dwayne, how did you feel about the Cowboys getting handled?
First of
by
all,
the 49ers. Now, okay, they didn't get handled, but they got beat by the 49ers.
When we were talking last time on the podcast, you was like, Dwayne, seemed like you got a parachute? Oh, yeah.
You had a parachute. You pulled that parachute right on up and had it tucked in your arm because you knew you was going to pull it.
I know. I say, damn, they're going to do it. They're going to find a way to lose.
So but you already knew that, dude. You already knew that because you said that. You said that in another podcast, you know, so.
Yeah. The Cowboys just, like I say, they have this thing to where if, like, as much as I don't like Stephen A. Smith when he talk like that, that shit is true. You know, if something can go wrong with them, it's going to go wrong.
And it's going to go wrong at the wrong time.
Yeah, and it's going wrong against a squad that nobody even thought should have been in the playoffs almost. You know what I'm saying? This team barely made the playoffs if it wasn't for some other stuff that happened, you know? So they had to beat the team that's in the Super Bowl right now just to get into the playoffs. So, and the Cowboys were sitting pretty for like 3 weeks. They knew they had this spot.
Didn't they get beat by the 49ers?
Yeah. Okay. They got beat by the
49ers.
Okay. Y'all got beat by Jimmy Gag.
Jimmy Gag. But look, at the end of the day,
that's what Skip Bayless called him. Skip Bayless called him Jimmy Gag, man.
Yeah.
It wasn't me, man. I'm just, you know, I'm just repeating what I heard.
I mean, but at the end of the day, the 49ers did make it all the way to the NFC Championship. So I mean, you can't say they're too bad.
I'm not really, you know, because the 49ers, man, they always surprise you at the end of the year, though. They always surprise you. Yeah. Some kind of way. They always find a way. You know, and I think that, hey man, they were a couple of plays away from going to the Super Bowl in actuality. A couple of plays away.
Yeah.
A couple of plays away. You know,
I mean, we could talk about this game all day, but we got to talk about 13 seconds is what we got to talk about.
Hey,
I want Dwayne to explain the 13 seconds.
Remember, I told you I didn't get a chance to see it. Remember?
So let's talk about these. Quan, did you see the 13 seconds?
At the end of the game, I saw the 13 seconds, but I think Dak Prescott thought they had 20 seconds.
He must have thought something else, because to put this thing in perspective, the Cowboys had the ball with less than a minute left in the game to drive down the field they could have won the game with a touchdown,
but they had no timeout.
They had no timeouts, but the first three passes were like spectacular, straight to the sideline, perfect passes going right out of bounds. And then they didn't have no timeout. So, you know, don't run the ball, don't get sacked. And what does he do?
He ran the ball.
No. He ran right up the middle.
Instead of him kneeling down and basically giving himself up to get the team to the line, he tried to go for more yards. And see those
got seconds. More yards, decided to slide, and then he threw the ball to his center. Instead of like finding the referee, but at the end of the day, the referee wasn't even in position.
No, the referee was behind him. The referee was behind him.
Yeah. And I don't think that – I think the referee didn't believe he was going to run the ball, thinking, okay, he ain't never going to run it, so I don't have to be coming real fast. He's going to throw it, either going to be complete or incomplete. But when you sit up there and run right up the middle with that amount of time left, you don't have a chance. You ran up the middle of the field and hoped that the referee would catch up to you. And then the referee had to get around your offensive lineman to even get to the ball.
I just I'm going to interrupt you right there, because I think the NFL needs to change that rule. Because I think when you're down like that and the referee is making an attempt to get to the ball, I think the clock should stop until the referee gets to the ball. That's just me.
Because I feel that.
Because that's not fair. You know, how y'all going to count it against me and he's running? I'm ready, but I'm waiting on him. You see what I'm saying? I think they need to revisit that rule and just pause the clock until the referee touches the ball, then the clock starts moving again. I'm just saying, that's just me. That's how
I can get behind that. But the difference is they, you know, the rule is what it is, and he knew the rule before he ran up the middle there.
Well, no, I'm not disagreeing with the rule. I'm just saying I think they need to revisit that, because that can make, like in this game, that makes a major difference in the outcome of the game, because you're waiting on the slow-ass referee to catch up.
Yeah, and then you know they moved the referee from behind the defensive line to behind the offense. So
of course.
Back in the day, the referee used to be in the middle of the defense, and he would just hand it.
Yeah, but he can't get pulled up in that spot too.
Yeah. So they had to move him, and I get it. That was for the safety of the ref. But
anyway, moving right along.
So,
yeah.
No, wait a minute. Hold on. So I got 2 points I want to make about this. So first, I'm questioning the call.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
Absolutely not. They said they called that play in. So the offensive coordinator and probably the head coach said, yeah, go ahead and do that. So I'm questioning the play altogether.
So then you questioning Kelly O'Button and Kelly, whatever his name, I forgot his name, but you questioning him and you questioning Mike McCarthy's
pizza boy.
Okay, what I'm saying is, if you know you don't have timeouts, I mean, why would you take a chance on that thing going wrong? That's all I'm saying. That's first.
Yeah.
That's first. And the second thing, I always say this, and whether it's the Cowboys or any other team, I do not believe and never ever believe that it comes down to the last play. It's all that other shit that y'all didn't take care of earlier. Whatever that was at the end, I'm like, well, okay, that shit didn't just go back. First quarter, second quarter, you know. It was some stuff that you were supposed to take care of to not put yourself in that situation.
No doubt about it. 100% on that.
I'm thinking, you know, I'm thinking personally, and I got one point. I'm thinking, okay, well, y'all saw what was working. Why would y'all go away from that?
Yeah, throwing to the sideline is what you're supposed to be doing at that point.
That's your only option at this point. That's the only option that you have. And if you throw it to the sideline, even if the man catch the ball, he fall out of bounds. You know what I'm saying? Yep. You can't afford to go to the middle of the field because you don't have no timeouts. It's the same instance with the Kansas City Chiefs switching to the AFC Championship game. Y'all got no timeouts. It's almost halftime. Why would you throw the ball to Tariq Hill? Why wouldn't you just take the points? Because if you'd have took the points, y'all would have won the game because it wouldn't have been tied. See?
Yep. 100. We jumped over there, but we can talk about that too.
See, there's nothing wrong with that. Hey,
look.
Couldn't let us finish with the Cowboys first. He got some shit built up.
I know. That's why I kind of just wanted to do the two games. But y'all,
I
want
to get my
mouth
first, man. I want to get my
mouth
first.
I've exhausted my emotions. the bottom line is, honestly, I feel as though in these situations, everybody involved gets paid too much money to make these dumbass decisions. That's just me. You go through these drills in practice all the time. You go through these 2-minute drills, minute drills, you know, no timeouts. You go through these things and you simulate game situations. But you can never simulate game situations, but you always want to be prepared for the game situation. And when you look around, it's like, okay, y'all failing. y'all not showing me that y'all ready for the game situations. That's what you're showing me.
Well, one thing they didn't simulate, they didn't simulate the referee taking his ass to get down there. They didn't.
That's true too, but if you run up the middle with only 13 seconds left in the game.
You know you don't have no timeouts. You know that.
That's why I said I'm questioning the call. Who made the call?
This the offensive coordinator.
You said the coaches made the call.
It's the offensive coordinator because the call comes in. The offensive coordinator job. He calls the play, and the coach, he's listening. And if he don't intervene, if he don't intervene, then he's okay with that play. But you have to realize this goes back way back to the Super Bowl with the Falcons and the Patriots. Why are you calling pass plays when y'all got the game? And time is on your side. Make Bill Belichick call timeout. They didn't do that. That's why they lost the game, man. You know what I'm saying? It's like you get paid too much money to make these idiotic decisions in crucial situations. That's just
great.
I mean, we can. It's a lot of plays in a lot of teams that made a lot of calls that we can talk about and say, man, what were they thinking?
Exactly. You know? And that's why I say I do not believe that last play of the game made them lose. It was some other shit. Okay.
Well, it's never just one play. You know, it's always things before that one play. You know, that was just quote unquote, that was just a straw that broke the camel's back. You know, that's just how it goes. You know, that's just how it is. You know, everything builds up. And when the pressure gets too high, things burst. That's just how it is.
But Dwayne, in this sense, just like we were saying, it's not the last play. What you're looking at is a situation where San Francisco was up, 16-7 at halftime and scored in the third quarter. So the Cowboys were doing their same quintessential stuff. They're trying to do a comeback at the end of the game. They've been doing this for two seasons. So that is where the bigger issue comes in with your high-powered offense. Supposedly, I keep hearing from somebody that works someplace else that is a Cowboy fan saying it's the best offense or the highest-scoring offense in the NFL, which –
Go say his name. Go say his name. Go say it.
Look, you didn't already call him out a couple times.
If you listen to the podcast, I want to say your name.
Yes, you can say his name
like that.
You ain't gonna say his name, but according to him, It's the high. It's the best offense in the NFL. If you got the best offense in the NFL, then you should score earlier so that you don't have to keep trying to come back from behind. You scoring 10 points in the fourth quarter just to get to 17 points, and you still lose by a touchdown. Like, you're not even – you have to at least – if you're going to go up again, this is the playoffs. This ain't no middle of the season thing. This ain't like, oh, well, next week we're going to do better. No, you got to get it done now or you won't get it done at all, and that's basically what happened to him. But either way – so we talked about that. That right there is the wild card Cowboy game. And I mean, we don't really need to talk about Quan's wild card game.
We can talk about the Texans wild card game.
You know what? Hello? Anyway, hello? Let's move on.
Oh, you there? I got a bad connection. Hello?
Let's move on to we can move on to the divisional playoffs, which the Cowboys were not a part of. And But the Chiefs were a part of, and the Chiefs had a 13-second drive and all they did was compare them. They compared the Cowboys 13 seconds to that 13 seconds at the end of the Chiefs game. But the Chiefs went ahead and beat – who did they beat?
Buffalo.
That was Buffalo. Yeah, they beat Buffalo. Yeah, Buffalo. And that was one of the best games in NFL history, I think.
Oh, yeah.
It really was. That was one of the best games I've seen. Like that, you'll probably never see a game like that again. I'm serious. You probably won't. Not in that close of time. Not in scoring that much in those little time frames that you're given.
Yeah. And to see those two dudes going at it, them two quarterbacks, those two teams going at it like that, I can't wait to see this again. But to be honest with you, the divisional playoffs and the second and third round of the playoffs were like fantastic games all the way down the line.
Well, field goals ended all of the games. Field goals,
every single one of
every game was ended by a field goal, was decided by a field goal. So I mean, that's never been done in the NFL's history. It's never been done. So I mean, you got to look at how the game is transforming and how these young players are just dominating, man. They just doing their thing. They're showing you a whole nother side of football that a lot of people have never ever seen. You know?
Yeah, man.
You know, everybody just going all in now. Everybody going all in.
The number one seeded Titans lose by 3 points to the Bengals, which are in the Super Bowl.
I think most of the number one seeds got bumped that first round.
Yeah. It was the second round. But yeah, so the number one seed Packers lost by 3 points to the 49ers.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be truthful. That one right there was a surprise. Yeah, and but for the Packers only scored 10 points.
Well, that was surprising. I mean, it's not surprising to me because if you understand how Aaron Rodgers operates, man, it's gonna be a while for the Packers to win anything with him underneath the helm, man. Because he has a problem. He has a problem. Like he has a problem because he's the type of person if he throw you the ball and you drop it, he's not throwing it to you no more. Not unless you're one of his favorite receivers. If he, quote-unquote, giving you a chance and you drop the ball or you do something to the pass that you're not supposed to do, he like, okay, well, he's out. I'm not throwing to him anymore. Who's next? And then he starts picking at people, you know. And then it's like, man, you can't play like that, bro. You gotta spread the ball around, man, because everybody looking at Devontae Adams to get the pass anyway.
Yeah, that's the big deal. Devontae was getting the ball every other play.
That's what I'm saying.
And everybody knew it. Everybody knew it.
That's what I'm saying. It's like you playing football, but you're giving away, you're giving everything away. It's like you're not giving the defense nothing that they haven't seen. And when you do that, man, you play right into their hands. And that's exactly what they did. Stopped them on every third down their head. Stopped them. And the crazy part about it is, man, you got the 49ers playing in the snow, man. These cats don't play in the snow.
Yeah, nah. And the craziest part, they kept saying that, oh, it looked like the 49ers looked better in the snow than the Packers. Exactly. And I'm like, wait a minute, they practicing this stuff. They in this thing all the time. How do they look better?
They look better than them. They look better. Jimmy Garoppolo made better throws. He made better decisions. And they just had a better game execution. That's just the bottom line.
They did.
You know, look at how Aaron Rodgers played. He played horrible. Seriously, he played horrible. And for them to say they're going all in on him again, I'm like, okay.
Here's the thing. Nobody wasn't expecting you know, the 49ers to do any more than what they did. No, nope. Well, nobody said they was going to put up a bunch of points. Nothing. They just hung around.
Yeah.
But they never put up a lot of points, though. They never put up a lot of points if you look at the 49ers. They never were the team to score 35, 40. They never were those teams. They always stayed in the 20s. You know what I'm saying? It always was a team that stayed in the 20s, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so even in this game, they only needed 13 to win it.
They always stayed in the 20s, man. They stay in the 20s. They never come out of that. Mm-hmm. They always stay around. That's where they're comfortable. So that's where they stay.
Almost beat the Rams too. Coming back.
Telling you, if it wasn't for Aaron Donald and Jimmy Garoppolo making that idiotic decision to try to throw the ball, instead of just taking it down. You know, but see, that's Jimmy Gag. See?
Jimmy Gag. All right. All right. You also had the Rams playing against the Bucks. And so the Rams took a big old lead in this game. And everybody looked like the Rams gonna go to the NFC championship. And then all of a sudden, and I kept telling y'all this on the text message, this game is not over. Because there's a dude number 12 that is on the other squad, and he's gonna do what he gotta do to get this thing back. And I know a couple people said, "Nah, this game's over." Nah, I cannot agree.
I think I might have been one of them. You know, right before halftime, they get ready to score before they go in.
It was 20-3.
I think they was like on the 3-yard line or some shit like that, getting ready to score right before halftime. You fumbled the damn ball. What the hell?
Yeah.
So when they was right there, I said it's over with. When they score and go in halftime,
You know, the thing is, I say like this, you know, Tom Brady did everything that he was supposed to do on the offensive side of the ball. I don't know what defense was thinking. It was an all-out blitz. Somebody didn't pick up. And when they didn't pick up, common sense will tell you, if you leave Cooper Kupp open, he going to get you. Even if you double-covered him, sometimes he get you there too. You know, but when you got an all-out blitz, everybody blitzing. You're not giving them time to get that throw off. So I forgot who it was. One of those linebackers, man, he didn't blitz. He did not blitz. He was supposed to, but he didn't because it was an all-out blitz. He stayed.
You gotta get in there.
He stayed stagnant. And because he stayed stagnant, he gave Matthew Stafford that couple of seconds that he needed just to get that pass off. If he would have blitzed, he wouldn't have had time. But see, he did not blitz. So the defense was the one that let the team – well, the defense let him down. They let Tom Brady down. The defense let him down. It's like the one thing that propelled him in the Super Bowl let him down in the game to get back to the Super Bowl.
And guess what?
That was everybody that was there last year. So it's like there's no excuse. For y'all to miss that call. There's no excuse. No excuse. Well,
you know they didn't have their DBs. The DBs were out. So they didn't have all of their DBs in the game. Now, I'm not saying it would have changed.
Everybody know that they needed Antonio Brown. Y'all know that.
Here's the thing. So if everybody would have blitzed and they would have made the play to win the game, then everybody would have said, "Oh, they don't have all of their DBs, and they still win." So it's like you can't attribute that to the fact that you missed the call. It's like, man, this is what you do for a living. How you gonna miss that call, man? You can't miss calls, especially when the game is on the line, like it was. You know, had he not made that throw, the Bucks would have been going back to the Super Bowl again.
Yeah,
and we wouldn't have been hearing this. We probably wouldn't have been hearing this. Oh, Tom Brady's retiring. We probably wouldn't have been hearing that because he'd have probably been like, "Hey, let's run it back again.
Let's run it back." No doubt about it. I'm surprised about the retirement thing too. Now, since we on this,
hold on. Before we segue, I got a quick question about this. Cooper. So the thing that makes him a really good receiver is his route running and his hands. Because I don't really know. I just know. I'm like, damn. I don't even remember where this guy came from.
He came from Western. I think it was Western Washington, something like that. He is a very good route runner, and he's, and you know how they say football IQ. They give him a one of those option routes, and he's always picking the right option. And the quarterback on the same team, on the same.
It's based on what the defense is giving him.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Basically, that's how you beat the defense. That's how you beat the defense. Yeah. You take what they give you. You don't force nothing. Yeah. You just take what they give you. You know, that's how, and switching off again, that's what Patrick Mahomes started doing in week, like, what, 6 and 7? He started taking what the defense gave him, them checkdowns. That's what Tom Brady does all the time. He takes what the defense give you. If I want to go deep, my man is not deep. I'm gonna hit my running back right here that's in the slot because that's what the defense going to give me. And that's what you do. You take what the defense gives you, and you beat them at their own game. Y'all going to give me 5 yards? I take that 5 yards because I get another 5. We got a first down. That's cool with me. No doubt. Play get to start again. Mm-hmm. We get to start a new set of downs. And that's how you do it. That's what you do. And that's what Cooper Kupp does. He takes what the guys give him. He take it. And when you give him if you give him any kind of inch, he's gonna make a yard out of that inch, bro. That's just him.
Yeah, because he's not
and the other part,
he's not real fast or nothing like that, right? He had a fast receiver.
He's not real fast. He's nice, but he got
a lot of twitches. He got a lot of twitches that can get you off balance. He has the twitching speed of Tyreek Hill, but he don't have the running speed of Tyreek Hill. Like, he'll twitch you real quick. And, man, when you're twitching a man, it's basically equivalent to basketball as a crossover. You know what I'm saying? That's what it's equivalent to. Mm-hmm. And that's just how he is. He got a hell of a football crossover. That's just him. You know, and it's hard
and
for
speaking
people to respect
that. And speaking of that dude, he won – offensive MVP of the league. I mean, not MVP, but offensive player of the league.
Well, he should have.
Offensive player of the season. So
he should have.
Yeah. And I think he should probably got MVP also, but, you know, they gave that to
Aaron Rodgers,
but he got the offensive player of the league. So he did real good. And, man, don't get me wrong, that dude is breaking records catching the ball, man. And the craziest part about him is, everybody know he getting the ball. Everybody know, hey, this ball is going to go to that dude, and all you got to do is cover him for like 4 seconds. But if you don't cover him for 4 seconds, he coming wide open. No question about it.
Line, like, hey, man, my kids and family watching, man. Don't
don't do me too bad.
Come on. We're family, okay?
He like – I mean, the dude is good, man. You got to give him his credit, man, because I'm willing to bet that if they win the Super Bowl, he probably will be the MVP of the Super Bowl. Him or either Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, those are the two that you put your money on right there, man.
But him or either Matthew Stafford. I'm giving it to you like that. And if the Bengals win, it's gonna be Joe Burrow or Chase. It's gonna be one of them two. That's gonna be the MVP of the game.
No doubt.
I'm just telling
all
you.
All right, so with all of that being said, we did have the Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. Like I said, one of the best games I ever seen. Yeah, ever. One of the ever. Best games I ever seen. Yeah, no question about it, man. And I like both of those teams, man. And I, you know, we got the Chiefs fan on here, but at the end of the day, you can even look at it as being just a regular football fan. That was a fantastic football game, and I wish that I could just keep watching that right there. I could watch the replay of that right now.
Yeah. Because it was almost unbelievable. When you watch it, you're just like, damn, really?
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
I look at that game, and it was one of the best games I ever seen. Like, one of the best games. We all agree on that. But we're going to move forward to the next game that they play.
Okay.
How do you play like that in one game and you come back in the next game and you play lights out in the first half and then in the second half you disappear? It's like, what happened to that guy that ran? What happened to that guy? What happened to that guy?
Well, from what I'm understanding. Go ahead.
I'm just asking, like, how do you do that? Like, what what is it that will make you play so like NFL greatness at its finest right there? Like that's NFL greatness right there. That's what you get paid that kind of money to do.
Yeah.
And then you come back and you play a lights out first half. It's besides the last play of the first half. You have basically a really good first half. But then when you come out the second half, it's like you stayed in the locker room and somebody else to put your jersey on.
His brother put the jersey on and came out and played.
Yeah, because I'm looking and I'm like, okay, I'm like, what is going on here, man? I'm like, and then the push forward towards the end of the game. Uh-huh. Man, you are right there at the goal line almost. Right there. I think it was like on the 3 or something like that, on the 5 or the 3 or something like that.
It was
that.
Somewhere up inside the 10, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, damn, only thing they got to do is score. If they score, the game's over. I'm like, and they right there. You know, that's where Kansas City is like super dangerous. Right there.
You talk about the play where he ended up running around in the backfield and then fumbling.
And fumbled, yeah. And I'm like, how in the hell do you lose 20 yards and on top of that, you fumbled?
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, if it's not there, throw it away. It's okay.
Throw it away multiple
times. Throw it away. Throw it away. You had multiple opportunities to throw it away. But see, that's what got them in trouble in the first weeks of the football game or the first weeks of the football season. Trying to be cute, trying to be all like flamboyant with the ball, trying to force things, you know, just overthinking, not really taking what the defense gives you, trying to basically make them, you know, trying to make plays that don't exist. It's like, dude, you can't do that, man. These things will cause you to lose. And as he saw, it caused him to lose because in the second half, bro, I don't know what happened to him. I really don't. I watched bits and pieces of the game in the second half. But the bits and pieces I saw, that wasn't the same player that was playing in the first half.
That's what happened right there. You stopped watching the game. Your squad was like, well, we don't need to go. You know what I'm saying? We ain't got to go on watching no more.
No, man, I had to go somewhere with my wife, man. We had to go somewhere, but at the same time, I was still watching in the car while I'm driving, man. You know
what
I
mean? Oh, wow. Oh, hey. What did he say?
Quan said, oh, the first half over? We won this thing? All right, cool.
Let me know about my business. That's when I left. I was like, the first half, it's 21-3. I'm like, damn. I'm like, man, these boys playing lights out. I'm like, only thing they got to do now is protect. Protect the field, get the ball, defense hold it down because the defense was playing really good too. And then I don't know, we got week 5 Patrick Mahomes at the halftime, and when we got week 5, that's when it went from great to just not so great. And I'm looking around like, man, what happened to this dude, man? Because you look around, okay, Tyreek Hill ain't got no yards in the second half, none. Had 78 in the first half, none in the second half. I'm like, okay, what happened?
I think that they had like 56 total yards in the second half for the whole rest of the game.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is he had 78 yards in the first half. This man got no yards in the second half. None. Zero.
Zero.
And then him and Hardman, they're on the sideline arguing about, I was open. I was on the angle. Dude, this ain't the time, bro. This is not the time to argue about this, man. This is not the time to bring this up, man. It's like, I got it. You got the angle. But your quarterback playing like shit right now. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it doesn't matter what angle you have. He's not playing good. So if he's not playing good, you're not going to play good. You know what I'm saying? That's just how it goes.
Real talk. So if you look at this.
Wait, quick question. Y'all remember that argument? Was fighting on the sidelines. I think it was
the
Bucks, wasn't it?
Who was it? It was two defensive players arguing with each other. Yeah, I think it was the Bucks.
Pushed his face or something, put his finger in his... I was like, damn.
Yeah. I think they had came back and won that game, so that was okay. That was in the first round of the playoffs.
Man, you can't... You emotions like that, that means that the team is crumbling. That means that the team is crumbling right before your eyes, right there. That means that we're crumbling, because that's a sure sign of frustration and the fact that we losing. That's what that is. Because even if you winning, you don't pay attention to things like that because it doesn't matter. We're winning. But when you down and you need plays and you got to come through and you're not, everything matters. The smallest thing matters. Man, you step on my cleats on the run, man. What happened? You know, it's like all of that stuff matters, man. You know what I'm saying? It's the little things that matter when you're in this, when you, hey, desperate times calls for desperate measures, man. That's just how it is.
No doubt about it. And then you look at this. So your quarterback not only had a horrible second half, but what you do when you got into the overtime? He threw an interception.
He threw a pick. Let me tell you why he threw a pick. Because he was forcing it, man. He was forcing it. Tyreek Hill was double covered, man. They had two people on him.
Yeah.
Why you ain't
chunked it down there? It was a long pass.
Yeah, it was a long pass. It's like, dude, why you ain't take the check down? You got so much speed on your team, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
You got the speed on your team that most teams can't even come close to.
Yeah.
A check down, man. You got Hardman in the backfield. You got your running back. You got so many weapons, man. You know, that's just it's just horrible when you allow yourself to play at that level a week before and you come back out and you play lights out in one half and you come back out and you disappear in the second half. That speaks volume, man.
All right. Well,
It's like a mental collapse. You know what I'm saying? And then they're going to ask him at the Pro Bowl.
Oh, man, it still hurts, man. Oh, yeah, it damn right it's going to hurt.
It better hurt.
You know, here's the thing. Okay, if you cooking, right? Let's say like you got some friends.
We grilling broccoli.
All y'all in the kitchen helping each other out. You got somebody cutting vegetables. You got somebody doing what? Seasoning the meat. You know, you got somebody doing everything. All right. Well, let's just say one of your friends just happened to nick your finger with the knife. It's like, oh, damn, man. Damn, you cut me. Wow. Okay. That's okay. But then let's say when you cut yourself, it's a different feeling, man, because it's like, damn, I cut myself. That shit hurt, man. It's more intense because you did it to yourself. See? Yeah. When you lose the game and you know you're the cause of the game, that hurts bad, man. That hurts even worse. When somebody just flat out beat you, it's okay. You got beat. Hey, man, they were the better team. They beat us. But when you stunk like he did, man, you got to wear that, bro.
You stunk.
You got to sit your team down and tell them straight up, hey, y'all, I blew the game. I truly blew the game. That was all me. All me. I did it. I'm sorry. I did it. There's nothing else I can say about it, but I am so sorry. I played like shit. I really did. I don't know what happened. I don't know what came over me, but I lost it for us, fellas, and I apologize because we probably, who knows if we're gonna get back here again? Look at how the NFL is turning, man.
Oh yeah,
look at how it's turning. Look how difficult it was to get to that point.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Look at what Buffalo did to y'all, and you don't think they're coming back again this year? Remembering all of this?
Yeah.
Everybody's getting better, man. Everybody's getting better. Everybody. And if you're at the top, you better hope that you can get better because the bottom is coming up now. The Bengals, man, the Bengals had a 4% chance to be in the Super Bowl, bro. A four.
Four. That's nice.
Four. Four. Like
now
the
they
number
got a 50-50 chance of winning this thing.
That's what I'm saying. They had a 4% chance to get there. Man, you have to capitalize on these things, man. You have to, because the opportunity does not present itself every year like that. That's just real, man. I don't know.
Well, real quick, I hear you passionate about it, man, and I ain't mad at you. That's your squad. I lost passion for my squad a long time ago.
That's any game, though. Any football team. You can't play like that, bro. You just can't allow that to happen.
Yeah. So let's give a little credit to Joey Burrow, man.
I give him mad credit, man. He gets mad
credit. That dude right there got beat up in the whole playoffs. He didn't been sacked, what, they say like 15, 16 times? And he kept getting back up and winning football games, man. And even in this game, he had a sack. Well, what was his name? Was it Houston or was it not Houston? It was Chris Jones. Had him. Full out had him. That dude did some sort of twist move, got up out of there, and threw a first down, man. I was like, okay, Joey Burrow might be the next best thing. You know, you got your quarterback, Now, Joe Burrow is putting himself up there with Mahomes and them. So I'm not mad at that dude right there. Get an offensive line. This team might be unstoppable in a couple.
Well, he has a good line already, man. I mean, his line is pretty good right now. I'm not.
Yeah, but he still came. He was like one of the top sacked players in the NFL this season. So
you know what?
I don't know how you can call that the best.
You know what? You know you can look at a car and be like, man, that car is beat to hell. But if you race that car and it beat you, then what?
No, I'm with you. But he has all the skills, and then he has skilled players. His offensive line is not top 20.
Yeah, so but the we bottom got, line as long is, as, he's yeah, patient. But they, he's patient. But, he takes what they give him. In every situation, he takes what he's given. In every situation, he doesn't like. He made one bad play, and when he played the Chiefs, when he threw that pick, that was the only bad play that he made the whole game. When you have a whole game, when you playing a whole football game, bro, and you only got one mistake, that's a damn good performance, man. Against a team like that. Yeah, I got to give it to you, man. They did their thing. And to do it in Arrowhead, where it's so hard to hear and it's so hard to play, man, you can't do nothing but give them boys credit, man. You got to give it to them, man. I mean, you know, I can't say nothing bad about it, man. Even if I wanted to, I'm just not going to do it because they were the better team at the end of the game. You know?
Yeah.
So I got this trivia question. What team got Cincinnati's number? It's a team.
Which team has the number?
Yeah. Was it the Browns?
Yeah.
It was the Browns. I think the Browns beat them twice this season.
Browns.
Yeah. But on the other end of that team had Kansas City's number? They beat them twice this season.
They beat them twice, and
they beat them at their house and at Kansas City. So it's like
beat them twice,
and both games went to overtime. If I'm not mistaken,
that could be true. I can check it out. Yeah. So at the end of the day, they basically said, "All right, Kansas City, I'm gonna run the same stuff that we ran against y'all at home, and see if you beat it this time." And they didn't beat it the second time.
See, the thing is, I'm gonna tell you something about Andy Reid, man. And this is his downfall. He doesn't adjust that well, man. He don't make a lot of adjustments. He really don't. He don't make a lot of adjustments, man. He don't. Because if you look at how they play, you can't play the same way in the first half that you play in the second half because the defense is going to adjust to that. If the coach is smarter, they're going to adjust to it. They came out with the same damn scheme that they came out with in the second half from the first half, thinking that they can do the same thing. The only difference is Patrick Mahomes, in his mind, he like, we got to lead. I can be cute with the ball and create these dumbass plays that'll get us yards and that'll hold it down. But then, you know, when you see that these things are not working, you need to change that up, man, because that's not the scheme no more. They figured it out. And he was reluctant to do that. And because he lacked in that department, they lost. You know what I'm saying? And it's a reflection of Andy Reid not making adjustments. You know, he said, I take the blame for that. You can take the blame for that, but you can't take the blame for how this dude played. You can't take that blame.
You always assume that your superstar is going to play like a superstar.
And well, you know, it didn't go down in the first half. I give it to him. He did in the first half. You know, lights out. But when you come back, you have to adjust too. You have to say, you have to tell them, okay, y'all, we here, but we got to make an adjustment because they're going to adjust to how we play. We have to switch it up. We got to switch it up. We got to take what they give us. We can't force things. We have to take what they give us because they're going to make adjustments. They're going to press us. They're going to put us in situations that we probably didn't think we would be in. But if we adjust to it, take what they give us, we'll be okay.
Yeah. They might have been feeling like you. They like, oh, we got this game. It's halftime. I'm going to stop watching.
I'm telling you, bro, when you beating somebody 21-3, you go in locker room pretty laxed.
That's it.
And especially when you're at home. Because we done stunned them. They didn't think that this was going to happen. So they done laid down. We good now. No, you're never good. This is football. You're never good, man. In any sport, you're never good until the end of the game, until the whistle blows. You're never good. You know?
All right, so let's put a pin on this game right here because we got another championship game we're going to talk about real quick. You have the 49ers losing to the Rams 17-20. And basically, the Rams had to come back from behind, basically looking like the Cowboys out here, but they got it done. You know, so 49ers was up 17-7 for the majority of this football game. And it took the Rams a fourth quarter comeback, and I really didn't think they were going to do it. I was like, man, San Francisco is going to be in the Super Bowl for most of this game until we get down to the fourth quarter, where all of a sudden you have a quarterback all of a sudden decides to show out and do what everybody thought he should be doing. So do y'all remember what y'all saw in that game? Cooper Kupp doing his thing, 11 catches, 142 yards, 2 touchdowns, and Odell Beckham with 113, but Matthew Stafford, 300 yards, 2 touchdowns. He did throw a pick, but they ended up pulling this thing out and being able to go on and go take this thing to the Super Bowl.
Man, I'm proud of Odell Beckham, man. I'm proud. If there's one player in this NFL league that I'm proud of and I give props to, it's Odell Beckham Jr., brother. And I'm going to tell you why. I give this brother credit because when he was on the Browns, man, he had the worst rep that anybody could have. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's saying, oh, the Browns losing because of Odell. They losing because of Odell. I'm like, well, I don't see how he losing and they ain't throwing the ball to him. I'm like, I don't understand how that's possible. But in all of this, in all of the things he went through, he never came out in the media. He never acted out the way he did when he was in New York. You know, the brother, bro, he grew up. And because he grew up, he got rewarded.
No doubt. Yep. No doubt. And the other part was, what's his name? Aaron Donald. They was talking about how Aaron Donald ain't going to get no plays in this game. We going to stop him. He ain't going to never get to the quarterback. He got it on that last play. That's all it took was the last play. He got that. He almost got the sack. He made him throw the ball. Interception in the game.
I'm going to tell you something, man. If you go to YouTube and you just type in Aaron Donald plays and look at the strength that this brother has.
Yeah.
He getting tackled by one of the linemen and pulls the quarterback down with one hand. I'm serious. Ridiculous, bro. Yep. Pulls the quarterback down with one hand, bro. As he's going down, he pulling the quarterback down too. Like, well, if shit, you going to take me down, I'm taking your best man down with me. Mm. And he's done that on several plays on several teams.
Yeah.
You're not going to deny that brother, man. He's different, man. He is different. When I say he is different, believe me when I tell you, man, that brother is different. He is the strength that he has. It's very few players in the NFL with that kind of strength. I'm telling you, coming off the line, man, I'm going to tell you like this, with two men on him, he still get to your quarterback, even with double coverage on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a problem on their line, bro. The offensive line on Cincinnati.
Yeah,
they got a problem. And then you got Von Miller on the other side. Oh man,
you might as well just cut your wrist, man. Because either way, you can't double. No, you can't double both of them. You can't. You know, damn. No, man. What?
On the football field, right? If you double both of them, now you got seven. That ain't gonna work, bro. That ain't gonna work.
Hey, man. Hey, yeah. Just take the running back out. Put another guard. Come on. Put another end guard or something. Yeah.
Double your tackle on the end. Yeah.
Yeah. Double. No. I don't want no tight end over there. Get his ass up.
Get a tackle. I need a whole nother tackle.
That's what I'm telling you, bro. They got problems, man. Them boys. They. You know. And some people, man, everybody was kind of like laughing at the Rams for what they did. Like, why did they go get Von Miller? He's no good. He's hurt. Why did they go get him? I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something, man. Sean McVay, that's a smart brother, man. That's a smart brother, man.
Real smart.
You know, he learned from his last Super Bowl run that he need more help. He learned from his last run. They ain't scored but 3 points. He was like, nah, this ain't going to happen next time. Why they got rid of Jared Goff? Because he's garbage. He's exactly
got the better quarterback. I agree. So with that being said, man, we're gonna slide on over. It's the Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl Sunday. This is Super Bowl Sunday preview right here. We going down. We have
Wait. One last thing.
Go ahead.
So if you're taking quarterbacks under 30, right?
Yeah.
What are the top five quarterbacks right now?
Under 30, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, okay. Joe Burrow.
Uh-huh.
That's three. You can give me Lamar Jackson and let me see who else.
Kyler
Murray, maybe.
Nah, I ain't gonna go out on him.
He's falling off.
Right. So I'm saying, okay, that's four. Give me another one.
All right.
I'm taking my Texans quarterback. He ain't played this season, but I'm still taking
him. I take Deshaun Watson.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I ain't even called Dak Prescott name. I'm sorry, but I didn't call his name.
He's not in the mix.
Here's the thing. I'm kind of doing that for the Cowboy fan.
Yeah, you're not going to get him in there right now. You got to show us a little more than that. And don't get me wrong, he'd be in the top 10. I mean,
he's a good quarterback. But I just feel as though for the money that they're paying him, he has to make better decisions behind the center, man. He has to make better decisions.
Him and Kyler Murray are about the same. They got flashes and they can do their thing, but they don't make good decisions when it's time to really show up.
This is what it all falls down to, dog. What they said initially about Kyler Murray. That brother Little, man, he need to gain some more weight. He need to do something to get his strength level up, man, because you playing in the league of big boys. You know, you got to get your strength up, man. You good, but, man, it's like, I don't know. When I watch him play in that game when they played the Rams, man, he looked like Yoda back there running, man. I'm like, damn. I'm like, man, they hailing his little ass back there, man. I'm like, damn.
That ball got tipped by like five different people, man. Because it just wasn't able to get up.
I'm like, they hailing that dude back there, man. I'm like, and I'm looking at the head coach.
Yeah.
What's his name? Cliff Kingsbury?
Kingsbury, yeah, no question.
And I'm like,
where did they go? Like,
I'm like, bro,
last six games, they was 2-4.
That's what I'm saying. They never played good at home. They was always a better road team. I'm like, bro. I'm like, you got to change. I'm like, man, you gotta get somebody to work with him off season, man. He need to get strength. He need to get some more stamina. He need to get. I mean, his arm is beautiful. His arm is just really strong. But man, you got to get some strength behind you, man. You got to get your legs together a little bit better than that. You got to get yourself together, man. You can't allow yourself to play like this.
The thing that he is very elusive. He's not. He can't like push people off his ass. Ain't nothing.
That's what I'm saying. You got to get your strength up, man. Because you can't. I mean, you look at him. When you look at him, he is no threat to nobody. You know what I'm saying? He ain't even a threat to himself. So it's like, you know, I'm sorry for saying that, man. I mean, it's just the truth. Because like when you look at Lamar Jackson, you're like, okay, this brother can handle him. You look at Patrick Mahomes, you're like, okay, this brother can handle his too. You look at Josh Allen. Josh Allen is a big dude, man.
That's a big old dude.
Because he's pushing like, he like 250. Yeah, he like 250 plus.
Running a 4-4, yeah.
He's like a LeBron James, seriously.
Yeah.
That's what Josh Allen is compared to, like a LeBron James. I'm like, okay. And then you look at look at Joe Burrow. That's a big boy too. You know, he's a big boy too.
And he got that escapability too.
And you look at Deshaun Jackson. Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, Deshaun.
Hey, man, come on, man. Can I correct myself, bro?
No, I ain't. My bad. Oh yeah, you got it.
Damn, man. Damn, man. My bad.
Hey, man. It's a bad auto correct around here, man.
Yeah,
look, that's all I got to offer right now. All I got to offer for my squad is the last name, and I can't even really talk about it.
You know, but I'm just saying though, honestly, when you name all of those quarterbacks, you can mention something that they can do in their game to avert getting sacked and to avert being tackled.
No doubt.
You call out Kyler Murray name, you just like, man, he just folds.
they touch that big toe. It's over.
So we've got
to talk about the other quarterback, the Chargers quarterback. He gonna be all right too.
Yeah, Herbert, yeah. He good too. Yeah. He can hold, but you said five. You know, he was on six.
Yeah. He'll be right outside that thing.
I had him on my sixth person, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. You know, I mean, you know, but see, here's the goal. this goes to show you, man, this league is changing, bro. It's changing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to be all right. This league going to be all right.
And it's really changing at the quarterback position.
So let me say this. This is going to be the last time I say this is the last thing. I'm going to say that.
Okay.
I'm like, damn, Dwayne, you say that? I hope. Yeah. But I just wanted to bring the black coaching situation right quick before we go into.
Yeah. That situation is a league long, ever since this league started, and it's like that in college football. Having a black head coach is a problem, but at the end of the day, we need more qualified black head coaches. We need some guys that are coming up the ranks, and some of them are worthy right now to have that position, but if they, you know, the thing is, they're going to always go back to their homeboys. They're going to always go to the people that they already know real well. And right now, dealing with what we be dealing with, we always going to be second behind somebody else. Always going to be somebody that they're going to trust better. And how many black general managers we got? What, one, two? I don't even know if it's two. You know,
I don't even know if it's one.
Okay. And if there's no black general managers, then again, they're going with the homies. They're going with their friends. They're going with the people that they know.
But hold on. Wasn't what's his name? Wasn't Doug Williams the general manager of the Redskins?
No, we had Ozzie Smith back in the day.
No, because I'm saying he had a very high position in the Redskins organization.
No, but I don't think he was a GM, though.
He wasn't a GM, though. Yeah.
I know he was really high up there, though. Really high. Because I was like, man.
It's difficult to change.
I remember when the bullshit came out, they had him speak on it. And I was like, why is he talking on it? Oh, because they wanted
a black man to stand up.
Yeah. But the Baltimore GM, I think he was like the most powerful. He was the one that
Ozzie Smith. Yeah, no question.
Yeah, he was making some things happen.
Yeah, he was the one, and that's the one that he was so good at what he did that people was like, all right, we need a guy like him, but they never found a black dude that's just going to embody what he had going on, and that's where the problem is. It's like we had the Texans had a black GM for a little while. What's his name? His last name was Smith too, right? I can't think of his name right now. But
yeah, I think so.
But at the end of the day, those, you know, you got far and few between.
No, but let me say this, because I want to. This thing about qualified, I absolutely disagree. That's a lot of qualified black coaches. I mean,
but that's.
Let me make this point. The Texans, before Lovie Smith got hired, was getting ready to hire a high school coach.
Yeah.
You heard about that? No experience in it. He wasn't the offensive coordinator, never high school coach, and an ex-player. And they was getting ready to give him the job.
That's why I think it was Hines Ward was up. I know you're not talking about Hines Ward.
It wasn't Hines Ward. It was a wide receiver, a white guy, I think.
Okay. But yeah.
High school coach. Okay. So now I'm just making the point. The thing about experience.
Yeah.
You're doing that.
It's homies. It's homies.
Right. So this is not about experience.
Yeah.
You have to be clear. It's like, we get these people worked up.
You understand how this is going, though. See, that's the politically correct way to say that we're not hiring nobody black because they're not qualified. See?
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
That's the politically correct way to say that without stomping on someone's foot, quote unquote. That's just what I believe. Because when you look at it, you got 32 billionaires, all of them white.
Except one Indian.
Except one.
Indian, dude. That don't even.
Well, he's Indian, but shit, I mean, he in the race by himself.
Right. Okay. All right. We're going to do that.
I'm saying he in the race by himself because they don't consider him white nor black. You know what I'm saying? They don't even consider him American. So
they call that dude other.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So when you look at how the platform is built, you know damn well You got 31 white billionaires. You think you finna make these people change their mindset and how they think?
Nah.
These people got what they call, these people got dumb, they got stupid money. You know what I'm saying? And imagine if they all joined forces, how much power they would have on their net worth. You know what I'm saying? Like net worth. Net worth combined, you're looking at probably over $100 billion. I'm just throwing a figure out there.
Did y'all hear about Brian Allen buying the team?
He said he's going to try to buy the Broncos.
I think so. So I heard that last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said
he was that, part of a group.
He said that they have approached him. But I'm like, he going to need some more money because he got a net worth of like $450 million. I'm like, bro, he's part of one of the groups
to be like, it's three groups supposed to be trying to buy the Broncos.
I know for a fact, I was like, well, he ain't got enough money by himself. I'm like, you're gonna have to,
hey man, hold on 1 second. Let me see, how much money can I borrow from the Weather Channel? How much can I
borrow over here? Hold on. I got a homeboy over there on the other side.
You know, I was reading on him, matter of fact, day before yesterday. I was reading about him and I was like, this is the most underrated dude in Hollywood right now. I'm like, because you don't hear shit about this dude, and this dude got money. I'm like, this dude got money. He has made some major moves. He bought the whole damn Weather Channel, and he bought some other thing too. And I'm like, damn, I'm like, how is he buying all of this shit? I'm like, man, this dude is, he's making moves, man. And he's like under the radar making moves.
Yeah.
They don't give him no credit, man. None.
Look, I would love to see a black man own a football team. I think that it's a dangerous move either way it go, because he's still going to be, the bureaucratic stuff is still going to be out there where they're going to be like, well, I can't just have an all black football. I can't have everybody in my organization be black.
Well, no, that's not what they're trying to do. But what they're trying to do is it has to start somewhere. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Black owner, if you know, like, okay, then that may entice more black people to spend their money wisely and come together collectively and do it again. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. All of these billionaire owners that are in the NFL, NBA, NHL, all of these professional leagues, all of these people, they have collectively came together with someone to do that. You know?
Yeah.
It's not just a solo purchase, man. But they say, okay, we'll put one person's face up there. Who would it be? Okay, well, let's put your face up there. You can be, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Majority owner, yeah.
Yeah, you know, but
yeah, you know, Jerry.
Well, I mean, Jerry is just, man.
Jerry, the only one. No, I don't want your money. I got it over here.
But here's the thing. That goes to show you that even when you have all that money, you still can't make the things happen that you want to happen. Uh-huh. See, you still need help. You still need help. Yeah. Because the thing about it, you've been the damn owner for how long? Ever since you fired Jimmy, y'all ain't won shit. You know what I'm saying? Y'all ain't did shit since you fired Jimmy. And you won't put this man in your ring of honor for nothing because this man do not want to dance to the beat of your drum. That is ridiculous. Hmm. You owe that man because that man put your team on the map. If it wasn't for him, nobody would. And then he the one that made the saying, how about them Cowboys? And Jerry took that shit and patented it. I'm like, damn, man.
Jerry said, that's my team. I don't take that.
Not for real. That's what happened.
I know.
Jerry took it and patented it. He did. He took that because Jimmy said it. He's like, I was the one that said, how about them Cowboys? He said, and then Jerry took it and went and put a patent on it.
He get paid every time somebody say it.
I'm like, boy, Jerry cold-blooded, man. I'm telling you, Jerry cold-blooded, bro.
Yeah.
So you know, hold on. So you know, just because you have a black owner, don't mean you don't have a black.
Of course.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. Because, hold on.
Because if you look at the Weather Channel,
ain't that many black people on the Weather Channel?
Not at all.
It might be one black person. I got on there. Yeah, I'm like, well, that's it, no?
And that's what I'm saying. I think that just like when we had Obama as president, they, you know, everybody was like, oh, he gonna do everything for the black people. No, he has to do everything like normal. It's still a normal thing. We just got a little, he might be a little bit of representation as far as how he looks, but at the end of the day, he's still gonna run the country the same way
a white person would run the country. It's just that it's just that on certain things he may be a little bit more lenient towards his own as opposed to another race, which is which is acceptable because most people are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Most people, if they are a race, a certain race, they're going to be more lenient towards their own race as opposed to another race. You know, I'm just how it is.
100.
That's just how it is. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That's how you're raised. I mean, it's just, but, really, I mean, it's just the way it goes.
You can always add people in the background that ain't nobody going to see. It's a bunch of black people that are scouts and all these different things that we don't see. But as far as being the person out front, the person that you see and blame first or be happy for first, that's what they're saying. And so I feel
look at the Dolphins. Look at the Dolphins new coach.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Yeah.
Look at the Dolphins new coach. He said that, you know, he said he identified himself as a human being, but his dad is black. I'm like, really? I'm like, so what that shit say on your birth certificate then, Chief?
It mean that he's a black dude.
Well, I mean, on your birth certificate, it's just like Trick Daddy said. It don't matter how much money you make, you still a nigga.
Yeah,
it don't matter. It don't matter. It don't matter what your fortune and fame is. You still a nigga. You know what I'm saying? It don't matter where you go in this world and how much money you make. You still a nigga. That's how it is.
With that being said, yeah, no question. With that being said, we got to go ahead. We've been on here long.
We got to get to the playoffs.
Look,
man.
I appreciate you bringing that up though, for real. The black coaches thing is a real thing that needs.
And I don't mean that in a derogatory form. That's just how they.
Yeah. No doubt.
That's just how they see us. Yeah. And honestly, it really needs to change because it's totally lopsided. Like totally lopsided.
Yeah, all it 70% of the players are black.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I want to say this one thing. So I was brainstorming one day, and I said, I wonder what would happen since there are hardly any black coaches in the NFL if all the black players say, you know what, we're not gonna play until y'all diversify this league the way it should be. Wonder what would happen then.
NFL is shut down.
That's what I'm saying. If they do like the basketball players did for the black activists and all of this stuff, when cops killing all the black people and, you know, unlawful stops and all, if they protest the way that they did, what would the NFL do, man? Because I'm gonna tell you something, them white boys ain't selling no tickets like that, bro. They can't sell no tickets like that, bro. Yeah. When most people come to a game, who are they cheering for?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who is the person majority, that makes the quarterback even if look just, good? It's the wide receivers. Yeah. And most of your wide receivers in the NFL, the good ones, they black.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
Your running backs, your tight ends, your defensive men. Now, your offensive line may be full of, you know, white boys, of course. You know, defensive line got some on there, too. But the majority of your stars in the NFL are black. I'm just going to be honest with you, bro. The majority of the stars are black. Majority of them.
The numbers can't lie.
Numbers don't lie. Right. Numbers never lie unless you rig them. But if you put off a truthful numbers, your numbers will never lie. Numbers tell the story. And that was just my thing. I was just like, man, what if all the black players just say, you know what? We need to come together and just stop playing until they diversify this league the way it's supposed to be. Straight down the middle, 50-50. What would those non-changing billionaires change their mind, bro? Because let me tell you something. When you sitting that high on your road and you start losing money in those kind of numbers, oh yeah, you change. You damn sure will. You change.
When you lose money, change everybody.
When you're losing billions of dollars, you know what I'm saying?
Cause see, you see how they all got together when the COVID and all of that stuff came about, and they wasn't playing, and games got postponed, and all of this. They're like, oh no, we got to fix this. We got to fix this. We got to fix this quick. What are we gonna do? I'm losing money, ticket sales, concession stand, all of this. I'm merchandise, nothing selling right now. I'm not making money. We can't have this. We got to fix this. We got to fix this quick. I'm telling you, bro.
100.
When it comes to the dollar, people would change their mind, bro. When it comes to that dollar, when you start losing more than you gaining, oh yeah, that calls for a meeting.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. All right, let's do this, man. We're in LA for the Super Bowl, and that Super Bowl has not been played in LA since the Cowboys beat the Buffalo Bills. What year was that? 95?
Yeah, that was a long time.
It was 1995. That's the last time the Super Bowl was in LA. And so now we're back in LA. We got the LA Rams that's playing at home, but they're the visiting team. They're at home visiting in their own stadium against the home team that would be the Bengals. Right now, we're looking at
now that absolutely makes no sense. But I heard you.
Yeah, that's what
I'm just want to know how you playing in your own stadium and you the visitor.
Yeah, that part, I'm like, no, that don't make sense.
That's the way it's set up, and man.
Maybe we need to get another podcast just for that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Just so we can find out what that's about. But they are the visitors in this game.
If I was on the Rams, I'd be mad as hell. That would actually make me go win the game. Y'all gonna have somebody I'm the visitor.
Yeah. The thing is the Bengals got to choose what jerseys they was gonna wear. So that's the only reason why I know that. They got to choose the dark jersey or a light jersey. So, and then the Rams had to go on the opposite of whatever they picked.
Why they choose first, though? That don't make sense.
Because they were the home team. The home team get to pick whatever uniform they want to wear.
I know. Well, how
were they the home team? How they the home team? That's what I don't want to know. How they the home team?
I do not know. I don't have to look that up. I don't know why. I wish I would have took the time to figure out why. What team was home, because I think it is NFC, AFC. So last year, I think the Bucks were the home team and they were at home. They just so happened to be at home and they were the home team. So this year, the AFC gets to be the home team, no matter what a stadium is.
How the fuck they decide that? Excuse me for saying that, but that shit don't make no sense.
Supposedly, this been going on forever. Like whoever did it last year got the next year switches over.
And I guess it's never ever mattered because the home team rarely ever played in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the home team and so last year was the first time that the home team got to play in their own stadium.
And this year they're doing it too, but they're the visitors. That's some bullshit.
But they're the visitors because of the simple fact that the AFC is the home, got a home designation issue. Anyway, it's crazy, right? But it don't really matter. I don't think it makes a difference because technically there's not supposed to be or shouldn't be more fans for one team or whatever, but they are at home. So you got to imagine it's going to be a lot of Rams fans there.
One more thing before we leave. Man, did y'all know that did you know that they had parking spots going at the Super Bowl for $5,000?
Five G's?
To park.
A parking spot?
To park. $5,000, bro. To park.
I'm over on it.
Did you know the average price of the Super Bowl ticket for nosebleeds is $4,200?
All right, I'm staying at home. Never mind.
That's $4,200.
That's $10,000 just to go to the Super Bowl. That's just to get in.
Bruh, $4,200 for nosebleeds. Check it out. I seen the thing on my, just a few minutes before the podcast came on. Eric Dickerson said he is not going to the Super Bowl because they gave him tickets and the tickets are in the raffles.
Eric Dickerson been getting hood out for years, man.
He said, I ain't going because they gave me tickets, but they in the raffles.
You know what? They telling him something. They telling you something, bro.
It started back with the carrot cake, man. The carrot cake that he got for winning the Russian title, and he allergic to nuts. and now he getting some nosebleeds tickets.
They gave him some tickets. He's like, I ain't going because the tickets are in the rafters, man. He's like, I can't even see down there, man. I wear glasses. He said he ain't going, man.
That's crazy.
Oh, that's disrespectful, man. So disrespectful. But you see how they do the black people, man? See how they do the black people?
Damn shame, man.
Oh, man. All right. So the old, so the spread on the game right now.
I bet you Kurt Warner would have been in the booth.
Yeah, no, Kurt Warner on the field. What are you talking about? He's on the field.
Hey, you
calling plays and stuff, yo.
You're not in the rafters. You know what I'm saying?
No, not at all. Saying,
I didn't think y'all knew that, man, but them tickets are high, bro. They are high, bro. Yeah. This is the highest that the tickets have ever been for the Super Bowl, ever.
I don't think they had a choice, though. You're going into a billion dollar building.
5.4 to be in LA.
Then you, how much it costs to live in LA, man? It costs so much money to live in LA that you ain't got no choice. This number had to be high, man. There's no chance that you. What about a flight? You got to fly over there. Man, come on.
Said that from all of the Americans, they got the numbers from, like, I guess some sporting thing or whatever. They said in total, from the United States, Americans are going to bet a total of, I think it's like they said, $106 billion on the Super Bowl is going to be exchanging hands.
Wow. That ain't not a nickel coming out of us.
they said $106 billion. I seen that this morning on Sports, and I was like, damn.
Yeah.
It's like the number is just crazy. I'm like, boy, you know what? I said, this goes to show you, bro. Somebody got money out there somewhere, bro. Money is flowing out there.
There's a lot of people,
bro,
out there with money. It ain't flowing us. So with that, it's
a couple of people out there betting some money that they shouldn't be betting with.
Oh, it's a lot of them.
A lot of them. Yeah.
This right here. Hey, I'm gonna tell you like this right here. Hey, come 10 o'clock tonight. A lot of people gonna be having some problems, man.
You're gonna have some husbands out on the curb. You're gonna have some people just gonna be pawning stuff all of a sudden. Yeah, it's gonna go down. Yeah. So with that being said, the line on this joint, as far as I can see, it says 4.5 points. The Los Angeles Rams are favored by 4.5 points in this game. I can't see it being no different. I can't even say nothing about that. I'm just letting y'all know what that is. If you did want to go make a bet out there, you can go ahead and grab Los Angeles -4.5. I sent y'all a sheet, the Super Bowl prop bets. It's a bunch of prop bets on here. I was gonna go through it, but we've been running long. But I wanted to talk real quick before we get our picks. What y'all think about this halftime show? Y'all think it's gonna be live? You got Mary J. Blige, Eminem, Snoop Dogg, Kendrick Lamar, and Dr. Dre. A little bit of California Love right there. What y'all think about that halftime show? You think?
Well, I tell you right now, if it ain't hype, and if it's not the way that most people anticipate it's going to be,
yeah,
you'll never see nothing like this again.
Oh yeah, that's going to be it. Yeah. They're gonna start
putting. They have a whole black lineup, you know, things like that. They ain't gonna do that no more, man.
They're gonna start putting U2 back on here and stuff like that.
Now you're gonna see groups like U2, you know what I'm saying?
The Who and all that.
Yeah, they're gonna see stuff like that, man. Rage Against the Machine. I'm telling you, man. If this Maroon 5 live, bro, it's gonna be some problems. It's gonna be some problems. It's gonna be a lot of problems.
I think it's gonna be good though. This is probably gonna be the first one I'm ever watch. I never watched this shit.
You never watched the halftime show?
I ain't better. Look, whatever happened doing halftime, I always burn off and I'm doing shit. And then when I get back, it's like the third quarter. I don't never watch the halftime. I hear about it. So this would be the first one I ever watch. Hopefully.
It make you want to watch it because they finally put like the talent from the city, right there and added a couple of people. Mary J ain't from the city, nor is Eminem, but you know, they trying to get it right. And I heard Ice Cube gonna have something to do with the pregame stuff. So you gonna have some stuff going on there, man. And that's just some entertainment news right there. Trying to get some entertainment news on the Texas Sports Podcast. You know how I go. But anyway, we can go ahead and jump down on who you think gonna win this thing. I'm going last, so Dwayne, who you got, yo?
I think the Rams are gonna win mainly because of Aaron Donald and I can't think his name on the other side.
When Von got Miller,
Bronco, yeah, Von Miller. Yeah, I think he not gonna be the. Yeah, no, I they gonna disrupt his passing game. So
okay.
But yeah,
you want to give a score? You want to give a score real quick?
No, I don't really know how it's gonna play out.
Okay.
I don't think it's gonna be a close. Put it this way, if it's a close game, Cincinnati, they're gonna win that shit. If it's a close game.
And if it's tight.
Okay. Yeah. No, they going to disrupt the game. If they don't disrupt that, he's going to tear their ass up.
Gotcha.
What I'm telling you, watch. If it's a close game, Cincinnati going to win.
All right. But you're going with LA.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think they're going to win, you know, by more than whatever that spread is.
Yeah, that 4.5 points is just because of being a Super Bowl number one. And number two, they are at home. It does count a little bit. All right, Quan, what you got on this joint? Did we lose Quan? What's going on?
Sound like we lost Quan, man.
Man, I can't believe it. It's still saying connected. All right, well, I guess I'll let Quan go last if he come back in here.
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Well, come on.
Nah, man. I think I'm gonna go with the Rams, man, because I don't think the Bengals are gonna be able to handle that. I don't think that offensive line gonna be able to tackle that defense too hot. I don't think they're gonna be able to last the whole game. Now they may start off good, you know, like protection and all of that, but I think as the game goes, they probably gonna break down, man, because seemed like, man, Aaron Donald, man, this cat, he seemed like he just gets stronger as the game go on, man. You know, it's really weird because most people break down, but damn, dog, he gets stronger as the game goes. Even Tom Brady said that. So I can't go against that, man, because – and plus I go off of experience too, man. They've been there before. Not everybody, but, you know, he's been there before. Aaron Donald been there before. So, you know, it's sometimes that experience matters, man, in situations like that. I don't knock the damn Bengals, man, because anytime you got a 4% chance to be in the Super Bowl and you're there,
yeah,
dog, you did quite a few things right to get there. So but I'm still gonna ride with the Rams, man. I just hope they don't disappoint me. I really do.
I'm with you. So yeah, I believe that the Bengals have a really nice team, and I think that in a couple of years they're going to, well, even from this point forward, they're going to be a really dangerous squad in the AFC and could be right back at this thing. But I'm looking at the exact same thing y'all talking about. And I said it earlier, the offensive line for the Bengals is not, as far as up to this point, even in the playoffs, have not shown me that they can stop a really good defensive line. When they played the Titans sacked them 8 or 9 times. And they still won the game.
They won, though, see?
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. And I'm gonna cut, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah.
But see, the Titans don't have them two gorillas on defense like the Lions, like the Rams got either, though, bro.
That's exactly what I was gonna say.
I don't mean that in a derogatory form. Them guys just got brute strength. And it's hard to deal with brute strength continuously. It will break you down. And if they get to the quarterback, they may hurt that cat, man. I don't know, man. You know, you just have to wait and see, man, because he can't take no 9 sacks from Von Miller and Donald and be like, yeah. Nah, bro.
Yeah, you ain't getting away from him like that. Then your DBs on this squad are way better. You got really good.
You
got
to look at it, man. You got one of the best corners. You got Ramsey on Chase.
Man, that's going to be a good match. It's going to be a good matchup, man. It's going to be a good matchup on both sides. You're going to have to see how it all unfolds. But go ahead, man. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Now you get so I'm the opposite of Dwayne. I think that if this game is tight, then it's going to come down to the better players. Like I'm saying, like you just said, you got the better defensive backfield, and you only got really one wide receiver that can really take advantage of that situation. On the other end, if it's tight and you got a Cup and you got ODB, OBJ, and you got them boys out there and the running back coming out the backfield, I really do believe that if this game is tight, I believe that the Rams have the better talent currently. Now, again, like I said, I think the Bengals are going to be cold later on. So I am going Rams by 5 points in this game. So I'm going to take the cover of that 4.5 points. I'm going to say they're going to cover that 4.5 points. And with that being said, that's what we got for this thing, man. Anything else y'all got to say? Anything y'all want to put in here before we get off this thing?
I give them 7.
Oh, you think they're going to win by 7? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm saying by my word. If it's close.
Dwayne says it's going to be 10 or more, right?
Because what I'm saying is the game shouldn't be close. If they can get to the quarterback, it's not going to be a close game. But if they can't get to the quarterback, they're in trouble.
All right. I'm with you.
Who are you referring to that can't get to the quarterback?
The Rams.
You're saying if the Rams can't get to the quarterback, it's going to be.
I just want to clarify for the podcast, because I don't want you to come back later. I want you to come back later and be like, I told y'all they couldn't get to the quarterback. Oh, no, I've got my thing.
And one other thing, you know what? If the Rams smart, now this is what I would double chase.
And put your best corner on your second best.
On the second best one. That's your best thing. Because I saw that dude get ass beat. Jalen Ramsey, I seen it. So he can be beat now.
Oh, of course he can be beat.
And Chase is the one to do it to him, too. So, okay. Put him out there one-on-one and see what happens. All right.
Yeah, I think it's no matter what, it's gonna be a hard cover. It's gonna be a hard cover, no question about it.
If they smart, they put one on top and one below. Double team his ass. That's all. You can't put him out there one on one. Watch, he's gonna get it. Put him out there one on one. See what happens.
They better do like how they do when they play the Chiefs. Put three safeties in the back.
Three safeties.
Because you don't want to get beat, man.
It's like, wait a minute, there's other safeties in the end zone and shit? Yeah.
What are you doing back there?
Hey, he ain't in the end zone, man.
Hey, man, when they played the Chiefs, bro, they played three safeties deep all the time. When you look at that way they line up, you had three safeties back. They always had three safeties back. Why? Because they did not want Tariq Hill to get loose and tear their ass apart. That's why they did that, man. And see, that's how they confused Patrick Mahomes, because, see, it made him play. See, he used to that. I just do this and do that and get away with it. But when you play 3D, you have to really play then, because it puts all the pressure in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, I'm glad we was able to get this boy in, man. The Super Bowl is today in about 2 hours, 2.5 hours from right now. I'm finna post this thing. Everybody finna get down. Listen to it when y'all get a chance, man. I appreciate you boys for coming out. Y'all have a good one. Y'all have a good one over there, man. I heard it's some grilled broccoli going down.
Grilled broccoli.
And some homemade sauce for the wings.
Got the homemade sauce working. So, you know.
That's what's up. That's what's up. All right, then, man. Thanks for coming out. God bless. Good night.
All right.